Day, according to the TT, of Srila Prabhupada's arrival in America. Actually, by American calendar, it was September 17th. Prabhupada had left 35 days earlier from Calcutta. He didn't have his family, he was already sannyasi. He had one kirtan singer with him, Mr. Bhattacharya, at the pier, who saw him off on the boat, the Jaladuta. It was a huge endeavor for Srila Prabhupada to get that ticket to come to America. Nowadays, if you want to go to America, it takes 15 hours. It took Srila Prabhupada 35 days to arrive in America with a free ticket from Sumati Morarji. Sumati Morarji is a very famous woman because after the demise of her husband, she took over the Scindia Steamship Company. And she made it into a very prosperous company. And Prabhupada had approached her some years earlier for a donation to print the second volume of his Srimad Bhagavatam, which she gladly gave. And Prabhupada used to go to her house, which is very close to our Juhu temple in Juhu, and read Srimad Bhagavatam to her while she was in her garden. So when Prabhupada finally decided he had printed his three volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam and he was ready to proceed to America on the order of his spiritual master, he thought she would be the proper person to give him a ticket. So he went to Bombay, but Sumati Morarji's staff was not favorable. They said, he'll die there. He's so old, he has no relatives, no friends. So Sumati Morarji, on their advice, refused the ticket. And Prabhupada became frustrated with Mr. Chokshi, the secretary, and said, no, you make a personal appointment with Sumati Morarji, I'll speak to her myself. And Prabhupada was able to convince her to give him that ticket. So finally, he got his P form, he got his passport, he got his ticket, he got his visa, everything was arranged. He boarded the ship and he started the trip. Right from the start, going on the northern side of Bay of Bengal, a cyclone came. And Prabhupada had a lot of discomfort there on the boat. He was sick from the very start of the trip. Finally, the boat went south to Sri Lanka, and in Colombo, Mr. Pandya, the captain, and Prabhupada had a nice day looking around in Colombo, which was just like India, according to Prabhupada. Then again, they came around the bottom, Cape Comorin, to Cochin. And in Cochin, Prabhupada's trunks of books had been shipped from Bombay to Cochin, and in Cochin they were put on the boat. That was also Janmashtami time. So Prabhupada had printed a nice little booklet describing his mission, why he was on the boat, and he had a Janmashtami program right there on the boat with all of the crew, and he distributed prasadam. And then very unceremoniously, Prabhupada had his 70th birthday there on the ship as it took off across the Arabian Sea towards the Red Sea. Now, this is where Prabhupada had his most difficult time. On this trip between India and Egypt, Prabhupada became more and more dizzy, nauseous, he was vomiting, he started to get chest pains, and ultimately, one day he had a heart attack, and he thought he was going to die from that heart attack. It was so painful. And then the next day, he had a second heart attack. And Prabhupada, he thought, if this happens one more time, surely I'll die. It was so painful. He was so weak. And in his diary, although he had been writing what was happening every day, on the next week, 10 days, He simply drew a line on those days. He was too sick to write anything. And then gradually, Prabhupada started to feel a little better. And they reached just, you know, there's Europe and Asia, and then there's Africa. And actually, the two continents are connected. But the human beings, they built a canal, because previously the boats would have to go all the way around Africa to get to the Atlantic Ocean. So this canal, the Suez Canal, before you enter the Suez Canal, there's Port Said in Egypt. So they reached Port Said and Prabhupada started to feel better. Then they entered through the Suez Canal to the Mediterranean Ocean. And from the Mediterranean Ocean, they then entered the vast Atlantic Ocean. Now, by this time, it was September, the first week of September. And just like here, we have the rainy season in September. And in Bengal, especially in other places, there are many floods, many tornadoes, many cyclones. So the same thing, the same weather is there in the Atlantic Ocean. Everyone knows that September is hurricane season. But the boat was traveling through this hurricane season. And Mr. Pandya and his wife, they said they had never seen the Atlantic Ocean in all of their years traveling so calm. Therefore, they asked Prabhupada that, come back with us, because this has been such a pleasant trip. We want you to come back so the return trip will be just as pleasant. Then Mrs. Pandya, she was a fortune teller. She was able to read hands and fortunes. And she told Prabhupada that if you can overcome this sickness, then definitely Krishna will bless you in your missionary efforts. So Prabhupada felt encouraged by this. So after crossing the Atlantic Ocean, finally, on September 10th, Srila Prabhupada started to feel better. And he began to write again in his diary. And he was writing in the diary on that day that finally the boat is plying smoothly and I am remembering Vrindavan and my lords, Govindaji, Gopinath, Radha Damodar, and I'm missing Vrindavan so much, but on the order of my spiritual master, I've come to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya. So that was the 10th of September. On the 13th of September, Prabhupada wrote a very intimate poem to his brother, Krishna. And it was named afterwards, the name given, Prabhupada didn't give this name, Bhagavan Krishner Pada Padme Pratna, a prayer to the lotus feet of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Now, there are three different types of katha. The first type is Shastra, and those are the laws, the rules and regulations that we should follow. And then from those rules and regulations, just as Krishna gave our rules and regulations in the Bhagavad Gita, then there's the second type, which is the Itihasas, the histories, the Puranas, and those are the studies of devotees and how they executed those instructions in their lives. Some were successful, some were unsuccessful. Just like in Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll read so many unsuccessful stories that later became successful, just as Bharat Maharaj and Ajamil. So there's a third type of katha, and that is poetry. Just as we have the bhajans of Narottam Das Thakur, which is classical, we have the bhajans of Bhaktivinod Thakur, which is more colloquial according to the language of the people, so the people could understand at that time. They couldn't understand classical so much, the Baals, the Sahajiyas, so that they could be brought over to pure bhakti. And then you have the poetry of Srila Prabhupada. Now in poetry, that is the expression of the heart. So Prabhupada, in this poem that he wrote on September 13th, before he arrived in America, he was expressing to Krishna actually his feeling of inability and how he just wanted to frolic again with Krishna, his brother, in the fields of Vrindavan, the pasture grounds, running with the cows, herding the cows, stealing each other's lunches, and eating together. So Prabhupada was completely in the mood of Vrindavan, although he was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. That was September 13th, where he expressed his heart's desire to Krishna. And then finally on the 17th, Srila Prabhupada arrived on the boat at the Massachusetts Port Authority, the pier of Boston. Boston is a very historical city in America. Anyone who lives in America knows about Boston, the history of Boston with the American Revolution, and how the boats would come from Europe, from England, for religious freedom. America was the place where anyone who was opposed to the church in Europe would come to practice the religion of their choice in the states of America. Catholicism, Protestantism, Amish, they came from all different countries for religious freedom in America. So here also was Prabhupada, a pioneer of religious freedom, bringing for the first time Krishna Bhakti, Vaishnavism. Prabhupada was the first Vaishnav guru to ever set foot in America, the land of the free, the land of religious freedom. But Prabhupada was in for a great shock. It was 5:30 in the morning when they docked in Boston. And Mr. Pandya, who had taken the trip many times before, he knew Boston, and he invited Prabhupada to come ashore with him. So because Prabhupada entered there in Boston, he had to go through all the immigration formalities, show his passport, show his visa. He had a tourist visa for 3 months. He was expecting just to stay 2 months in America. Seeing America, he didn't feel very encouraged that he would have much success. So he told the immigration officer, maybe I'll stay 2 months. And he gave a date when he would return. Then he saw all of you, if you watch the videos of that time of Boston Pier, a lot of old, broken down, empty buildings, and you have shipyards, you have all different types of boats, you have fish stands and lobster stands. It's not a nice part of town. But then Mr. Pandya knew, he knew a little bridge, you walk across that bridge, and then you're in the city of Boston. But even the city, Prabhupada wasn't impressed. He had seen cities before, of course there's cities here in India, but nothing like the cities in America with the skyscrapers and the concrete jungle. Concrete jungle means you don't find any grass or trees or greenery, you just find concrete everywhere. Glass, concrete, steel, that's the type of jungle that the American cities have. So when Prabhupada saw, it was still early in the morning, he couldn't see. Seeing the mentality of the people absorbed in the modes of Raja and Tamagun, he couldn't see how he was going to be able to preach Krishna Bhakti in America. He couldn't see anyone who would be the least bit interested in his message of Krishna Bhakti. So that was September 17th. Now if you drive from Boston to New York, it takes 4 hours, right? 4 hours. Prabhupada's boat took 2 days to get from Boston to New York. So while he was on the boat preparing to arrive in New York where he would start his journey in America, he wrote this poem, Markine. Markine means America in Bengali. And Markin is America. Markine means in. In America, Bhagavad Dharma. Preaching Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Dharma, in America. And this was Prabhupada's innermost prayer to Sri Krishna. So we'll just go through. It's 16 couplets. It's short. And it's in Prabhupada's own language so he could express himself from his heart most intimately to Krishna. It's a prayer to Krishna, and he's sharing it with us. These prayers, of course, these poems, were not immediately available to the devotees. The first time we saw this was in 1971 in Prabhupada's, just like we've all seen Prabhupada's offering to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, "Adore, adore ye all," because it was in English. So finally in 1971, Prabhupada gave us this poem, and it came in his Vyasa Puja book. The first translation is, "O brothers, the Supreme Lord Krishna will personally become your virtue, but he will do so only when Srimati Radharani first becomes pleased with you. This I say to you with complete assurance." So, in the first stanza even, Prabhupada mentioned Srimati Radharani. This was Prabhupada's father, Gormohan Day's prayer. Any sadhu he met, he would pray to them, that please make my son a servant of Srimati Radharani. So that was Prabhupada's constitutional position from birth, that he'd be a servant of Radharani. And without her blessings, you won't be able to attain Krishna. So this is Prabhupada's first couplet. Prayer to Krishna, and without Radharani's grace, you'll never be able to approach Krishna. Then Prabhupada goes on to say, "Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Chaitanya, the son of Mother Sachi, is unparalleled in rendering expert service to Lord Krishna. He is that great saintly spiritual master, most magnanimous within this universe, who bestows devotional service to Krishna in various places throughout the world." So, just as in our worship, we're worshiping, everything that we offer first, we offer to our spiritual master. So here, Prabhupada, he is glorifying his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who can give devotional service all over the world. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave the prediction that his name would be heard in every town and village of the world. So that's the instruction. That's the Shastra. And then coming down through Sampradaya, we have Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was the first of the Acharyas who tried to carry out that instruction. He did that through his writings and by meeting eminent people within India. He didn't venture outside of India, nor did he have disciples to go outside of India. So he prayed to Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya for a ray of Vishnu that would help him in his mission to carry out that order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that prediction. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhimal Prasad Datta, he was born. Now this son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he took that instruction most seriously. And he trained his sannyasi disciples to travel and preach abroad. But it was with much effort. He sent one of his disciples to England. Now we have an example here. I just want to give a practical example so we can understand it on our level. One time we needed a permit from the post office, so they sent me someone to help. He said, "Well, I need 3 kilos of prasadam, I need a car, I need a driver, I need money for diesel, and I need a 500 rupee bribe to give the officer." So, all right, we needed the permit. We gave him everything he asked for. In the afternoon, he came back. He said, "Unsuccessful. Couldn't do it. Where's the prasadam? Where's the money? Oh, it's all gone. Sorry." So next day, they send another devotee. And I tell him what we need. He takes the bus. He takes the rickshaw. He goes to the officer. Comes back in the afternoon with the permit. No problem. So, this first disciple that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati sent to London, he was supporting him there in London. Everything was coming from India and supporting him in a rich country like America, and he came back unsuccessful. Maybe he met some lords, maybe he met some rich people who tried to convince him that this will never work in London. No disciples, no temple, nothing. He came back unsuccessful. And he decided to make his own program here. We have across the street here. Just across the street we can see the difference between the two different disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Now, he was a sannyasi. He was one of the primary disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And another disciple, who was a very close, intimate associate of Prabhupada, Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji, he said to that disciple, he said, "What is the difference between you and Bhaktivedanta Swami? You went to the West, you preached, you came back unsuccessful. He went to the West, he preached, he came back with thousands of disciples and made over 100 temples. You tell me, what is the difference?" So Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji, he told the difference. That Bhaktivedanta Swami, he had 100% faith in Harinam. That is why he was successful. So when Prabhupada made this prayer to Sri Krishna, Srimati Radharani, now his spiritual master, we go on. His desire is very powerful, and thus he is causing the holy name of Lord Gauranga to manifest throughout the countries of the Western world. In all the cities, towns, and villages of the earth, extending to all the oceans, rivers, and streams, everyone is chanting the holy names of Krishna and Rama. Where was everyone chanting? Only Prabhupada foresaw this. Why did he know this would happen? That Krishna would become a household word all over the world. He knew it because Lord Chaitanya predicted it. It was just this prediction, the success of this prediction, being separated by time. But Prabhupada had full faith that all the cities, towns, and villages, from the oceans, rivers, and streams, everyone is chanting the holy names of Krishna and Ram. Prabhupada already saw that. He used this in present tense. And he hadn't even landed in New York City yet. Then he says, "They will become so blissful, chanting, that all directions will be conquered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's abundant mercy. When all the miserable living entities in the world who have been tormented by Maya become truly happy, then the Vaishnava's desire will be fulfilled." So this is Prabhupada's heart. How he was going to do it, he had no idea. He saw the caliber of the people in America just in 1 minute, seeing in Boston. Then he was coming to New York City, which is the very citadel of Kali, New York City. You can't find a more sinful place than New York City. And this is a place where most Indians, their secret goal is they want to go to America. One time, we sell incense. You know, we sell incense, and it's sandalwood incense, rose incense, mogri incense. So one of the names of the incense was Night in New York. They think that it's some special thing to arrive in New York City, the land of the free, where you can have all the enjoyment you want. But when you get there, you realize, anyone with a little culture, that these people are completely in the modes of Rajagun and Tamagun. There's no hope for them without Lord Chaitanya's mercy, without the holy name. So Prabhupada fully understood that simply by chanting the holy name, these poor people who are completely enmeshed in Maya will become happy. He says, "Although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to undertake this mission, I am unworthy to do it, being very fallen and incompetent. This being the case, O Lord Krishna, today I am begging for your mercy to make me worthy of such a task, for your wisdom is supreme." So this is a devotee, a bhakta, praying to his Lord for his mercy Now, we know from the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is impartial because all living entities are his sons and daughters. So why should Krishna give mercy to this one little devotee praying that he feels completely incapable of carrying out this task? Well, Krishna's supermost bhushan, some people call it a dushan, a fault, but the devotees know that it's a bhushan, an ornament. And that is, Krishna is bhakta vatsala. Bhakta vatsala means, the word vatsala comes from vatsa, a little calf. Now, a mother cow, she has such love for her calf because the calf is completely helpless. So that's where this name bhakta vatsala comes from. Krishna sees in this feeling of complete helplessness that I am unworthy to do it, being very fallen and incompetent. So this is the way Prabhupada is approaching the Supreme Lord in his prayer. Completely incompetent. He feels no qualification on his own to carry out this mission of his spiritual master. And this quality of bhakta vatsala, when the bhakta takes complete shelter and prays to Krishna, then Krishna, being bhakta vatsala, he fulfills that desire of the devotee. Now, a devotee also, we know there are three different kinds of devotees. There's the Paramahansa. We've had Paramahansas in our line. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he was a Paramahansa. He was on the highest level, Uttama Adhikari Bhakta. When he saw a little boy, if he was dark, he took the boy as Krishna. If the boy was fair, he took the boy as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He saw no distinction between living entities. He saw everyone as a devotee, as a part of Krishna, and he saw Krishna everywhere. That's Uttama Adhikari. But a preacher, he sees four things. He sees prema for the Lord. And maitri, he makes friendship with the other devotees. And then kripa, he gives kripa to the innocent who don't know anything about Krishna. And then finally, upeksha, he neglects those who are offensive to the Lord, the demons. So a preacher, even if he's an Uttama Adhikari, just as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was, they come down to the Madhyam Adhikari level. And they approach the Lord with love, they make friendship with the devotees, they show mercy to the innocent, and this is what Prabhupada was coming here for, to give mercy, and they ignore the infidels. So Prabhupada, considering himself most fallen and incompetent, was praying to the Lord, how am I going to execute this mission? Now, it was Prabhupada who went through all the effort to come to America. He took sannyas, left his family. He went to live alone in Vrindavan and write his books for so many years. 5 years, he sat here all alone. 3 years at Bansi Gopal Mandir, 2 years in Radhadamodar Mandir. Then, all the effort to get the ticket, 2 heart attacks, 35 days crossing. Then he asked, Krishna, why have you brought me here? I'm completely incompetent. So the two things go together, and we know these two things from the Damodar Leela, the 2 inches. One is the effort of the devotee, and the other is the mercy of the Lord. So Krishna, he gives the mercy, but the devotees, they make the effort. Later, one devotee approached Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, please give me the strength to carry out your instructions. And Prabhupada said, I've given you the instructions. Now you have to develop that strength to grab onto those instructions to get success. And Prabhupada gave the example of a man who's fallen in a well. You can't get out of the well by yourself. But if somebody puts a rope down, you don't pray, please give me the strength to hold onto the rope. No, with your own strength, you have to grab onto that rope, and then you get pulled down. So the spiritual master, he gives the instructions, just like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he gave the instruction. But then Prabhupada had to take all the effort to carry out that instruction. So the two things go together. Mercy from Guru and Krishna, and then our effort to carry out those instructions. Mercy means instructions. So, Prabhupada, he goes on. If I receive that divine empowerment from you, then by serving my spiritual master, I will attain the strength to render this service, and the purpose of my existence will be fulfilled. By remaining absorbed in that devotional service, I will become truly happy, and by good fortune, receive your personal association. So Prabhupada fully understood. Here he's praying to Krishna that if I can carry out the instruction by great endeavor of my spiritual master, then I can get your personal association. And what was that personal association that Prabhupada was aspiring for? Well, one time Prabhupada was in with the devotees. And one of the devotees asked Prabhupada, what is your relationship? Who are you in the spiritual world? And Prabhupada told them, he said, if I told you, you would faint. So some devotees once came, Giriraj, he was the temple president in Bombay. They came, they were Vaishnavas, they were, you know, they had esoteric understanding of the philosophy. And they came and they asked Giriraj, they said, we've come to ask you about your spiritual master, Prabhupada. Yes, any way I can help you? Anything you want to know about him? We want to know, who is he? Well, he's the disciple of... No. We know that Ramanuja, he was Shesha. He was Lakshman. And he came here and he preached Krishna consciousness. He made all of South India, portions of India, Krishna conscious. We know what his identity is in the spiritual world. We want to know who your Srila Prabhupada is. So this was Prabhupada's answer. If I tell you, you'll faint. And in the previous verse, we have a little glimpse of what Prabhupada's desire is to sport with Krishna in the spiritual world. But Prabhupada understood, it's not just by thinking. No, you have to work so hard. Two heart attacks. Prabhupada later told the devotees, from 1965, this is when Prabhupada had his heart attacks, then he had a stroke afterwards, just a few months, a year later. From 1965 to 1977, I was always unhealthy. There was ringing in my ears, there were throbbing in my heart. You never fully recover from a heart attack. The whole time Prabhupada was unhealthy. And during those years, those 11 years, that's when Prabhupada established ISKCON and all of the temples and disciples and all over the world. So Prabhupada, his effort earned him that special mercy of Krishna. 9, 8, 9, 9. I've lost it. So then Prabhupada, but I know that all things are possible when you show your causeless mercy, because you are so playful and fond of inconceivable pastimes. How can I help them comprehend the transcendental mellows of devotional service? O Lord, please bestow your mercy so that under your divine guidance, I may be able to persuade them of your message. By your will, all living entities in this world have fallen under the control of the illusory energy. By your will, they can also be set free from that illusion's clutches. So this particular, these couplets, Tumara ichaya sabahai maya vash, Tumara ichaya nasha mayar parash, the control, the touch of illusion. So this is a paraphrase. It's a Bengali rendition of a particular sloka that was spoken by the personified Vedas in the 10th canto, 87th chapter, verse 14. And there the personified Vedas are praying to Vishnu that you created Maya, Maya is your servant, and Maya has ensnared all of the living entities in her web. So if we pray to you, you can tell your servant, your maidservant, to free the living entities from this snare of her illusion. So therefore, they're praying directly to Krishna, to Vishnu, to please free the living entities from the snare of Maya. Now, Vasudeva Datta, he used the exact same prayer when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that all the living entities are suffering from their sinful reactions. And he wasn't just saying this to make himself look like a great devotee. He was actually praying to Lord Chaitanya that give me all of their sinful reactions, let me suffer, and let them all be liberated and experience the love of Krishna Bhakti. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this prayer, he started to cry and tremble because he knew that it was a genuine prayer. Now, it's so hard to make a prayer like that. Who would take my sufferings? Who would take somebody else's sufferings? Narada Muni, he showed Valmiki when he was a thief. He didn't steal for himself. He stole for his family. So Narada Muni, he went to Valmiki's wife and he asked his wife, Valmiki's wife, that your husband is doing all of these sinful activities and stealing for you. Will you share his sinful reactions? She said, no. Why should I share his? He's doing the sins and he's bringing to me. I have nothing to do with what he's doing. So even the person that Valmiki was stealing for, she wouldn't accept his sinful reactions. So this prayer by Vasudeva Datta is just like the prayer of the personified Vedas, that Sri Krishna, let me suffer, let Maya relieve all of these living entities, and then they can all be happy. So Prabhupada, seeing all of the living entities ensnared in Maya's illusion in America, when he saw them, he's praying to Krishna that you please free them so that they can experience the happiness and they can become free from illusion's clutches. Then he says, therefore, if it is your wish for them to be delivered, then surely they will be able to comprehend your message. And then Prabhupada gives these key slokas. That's sloka 17 through 21 of the second chapter of the first canto, where it's described the glories of hearing the message of Krishna. That's the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Srinvatam Svakatha Krishna. If we hear the message of Krishna, then the last sloka, the knot in the heart is pierced, and all spiritual doubts are cut to pieces. The sequence of fruit of actions and reactions is terminated when one finally sees the spirit self as the true master. So by hearing this knot of Maya, Vidyante Sridaya Granti, the Sridaya Granti, this knot of Maya, this is described in many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is this knot of illusion? So we won't discuss that today. But Srila Prabhupada is praying that this message of Krishna be heard so this knot of illusion can be cut and they can experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness. By this process, the people will be liberated from the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance, and all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will be dissolved. So this was Prabhupada's Bengali rendition, the summary of these slokas that he took from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he says, O Lord, what should I do to help them understand this transcendental message of the Bhagavatam? I need your merciful benediction to persuade them, for I am very unfortunate unqualified, and the most fallen. I have no power to do so on my own. So how did Prabhupada describe himself? Shudra. Shudra means very insignificant. Dinahin and Shaktinahi. So fallen and no power to do this on my own. Now, when Prabhupada finally reached New York, then in New York, big harbor, there's a bay, you enter. Anyone who's preached in New York knows about the big bay you go into. There's a Port Authority of New York. You get off of the boat. Prabhupada landed. He got off of the boat and he said he didn't know whether to turn left or right. He had no idea where to go. And what did Prabhupada bring with him to America? He had, Shali Agarwal describes this later. Shali Agarwal was the person who sponsored Prabhupada in America. She was the wife of Gopal Agarwal, who was the son of someone who Prabhupada just happened to meet while he was doing a preaching program in Agra. Prabhupada didn't even know the person, Mr. Agarwal. And Mr. Agarwal, he just said to him after Prabhupada gave a lecture in Kirtan, he said, "Is there any way I can help you?" And Prabhupada said the same thing that he said to everybody. He said, "Yes, my spiritual master has given me an order to go to the Western countries and preach. If you can help me in any way, I'd be very grateful." So what did Mr. Agarwal do? He wrote to his son, Gopal, who was an engineer in Pennsylvania. He said, "I want you to sponsor Bhaktivedanta Swami." If you ever look at Prabhupada's passport in Prabhupada's house, his name is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. His father is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And this is Prabhupada's identity on his passport. So Prabhupada didn't even know that Mr. Agarwal had written to his son Gopal. Gopal sent the, and very, because Americans didn't want the poor Indians in America in the 60s. We never saw an Indian. Did you ever see an Indian? Never. We never saw Indians. Because what we were taught is that the Indians are poor, they're beggars. We knew nothing about the culture of India, except that they were poor beggars. So the American government made it so difficult for Indians to come to America. So one day, Prabhupada's sitting in Radhadamodar, and he gets a letter from the Ministry of External Affairs that you have been sponsored by one Mr. Gopal Agarwal in America. He had no idea. And this is what started the bud that started his whole effort to get his passport, get his visa, get his ticket, and then go through the 35 days on the boat. So here he is in New York, didn't know whether to turn left or right, and there's something in America called traveler's aid, where here we have toots, right? People come up, you need any help, and then, you know, they're going to rip you off. But there, they more organized, they have traveler's aid. And someone meets you, they take you to where you have to go, especially newcomers in the country. So we're going to have to continue next year. Now Prabhupada has just touched foot in America, and it's 9 o'clock, so please forgive me. Hare Krishna.